Oh, what a glorious evening. Aren't you glad you came tonight? And I've got good news. There's something more to happen in a few minutes. Ice cream. As we celebrate with our Portugal team, this wonderful report they've given, and we're going to get to chat with them some more as we go over to the gymnasium there and enjoy ice cream together. But may I share with you my message of 1 hour and 15 minutes. Somebody said, preach it. Thank you. All right. That I'm going to put into 10. Is that all right? And I'd like you to take that yellow sheet that you have in your bulletin so you can know what we're going to talk about, even though we move a little more quickly in it tonight. I want to talk to you. This actually is the appetizer for the ice cream that we're going to have. And this is something sweet as well. It's honey. In fact, something even sweeter than honey. Just show me your Bibles. Would you just hold them up? That's what we're talking about. God's Word, the Bible, sweeter than honey. That's what Psalm 119 says in verse 103. Say it with me, class. Let's say it together. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I want you to be enjoying God's Word as it is revealed to us here in Psalm 119. Last week, we began looking at Psalm 119. If you'll come back again next Sunday evening, we'll talk a little more about some of the wonders that we discover in Psalm 119. But tonight, I just want to focus you on developing and increasing your appetite for this amazing Word of God. Don't you love the Bible? And honey is a very wonderfully sweet thing. And notice this picture here. There's a bee working on a dandelion. And here's some other pictures coming up as you see them. They get their honey from those trees, and there's some beehives, and here's some other. There's a rack of honey there, and there's an extractor that you put the honey in and just swish it around until it just comes out, extracting the wonderful honey from the comb. In fact, we have one of those right next door to our house. Our neighbors, Ken Coyle and his family, are beekeepers. So we don't have far to go to get get honey in our place. Place honey at the Toronto's Royal Winter Fair. How many of you have ever been to the Royal Winter Fair? A number of you have? Yeah. Well, maybe you've seen where they have all the honey from all over Canada that is placed there, and it's judged. And I have the good news to tell you, for the last 2 years, our neighbors have won the best honey in Canada for liquid honey. And so we like honey, and I hope you're stuck on it as well. And when you think about what it takes for, did you realize that bees have to travel over 200,000 kilometers to make 1 kilogram of honey? That's amazing, isn't it? And we're told that it takes 350,000 bee hours of work to produce 1 kilogram of honey. 350,000 hours. Now, if we paid our bees minimum wage, that would mean that 1 kilogram of honey should cost you $3.5 million. How about that? Talk about rights as we were this morning. Bees are probably going to rise up and sting us for other reasons. But I want you to see this next picture here. You know, there's a wonderful song in your hymn book, and I put the words here so you don't have to turn to it. It's page 273. But would you read these words? This talks about the wonder of God's Word, which is sweeter than honey. Let's say it together. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came. Mine to teach me what I am. Mine to chide me when I rove. Mine to show a Savior's love. Mine thou art to guide and guard. Mine to punish or reward. Mine to comfort in distress. suffering in this wilderness, mine to show by living faith man can triumph over death, mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Yes, I want you to know that Psalm 119 is a symphony in celebration of God's wonderful word. It really is an amazing celebration. Its 22 stanzas are a prayer expressing the psalmist's heart commitment to believe it, to love it, and to obey God's great word. And as we say, God's word is like honey, as we saw in verse 103. It's interesting that also Psalm 19, this is Psalm 119, but Psalm 19, which was written by David, he says the same thing, sweeter, the word of God is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And here we find it again. We aren't told who wrote Psalm 119, but this may give a hint that maybe David did write this psalm. And I want you to notice also that God's word is like honey, and the true believer will be attracted to the Bible just as bees and bears are attracted to honey. Look at this next picture here. Yeah, that's right. and you know, just as they are attracted to honey, I hope you have an attraction to the Word of God. You're just hungry for it. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Can you just say, thank you, Lord, for giving us your Word, the Bible. Now, I want you to look at it a little more. First of all, I'd like you to marvel at the wonder of Psalm 119. Its theme is this: God's word transforms my life. As you go through this psalm, you realize how powerful is the word of God to change us, to make us what God wants us to be. And I want you, as we said last week, its structure, there are 22 stanzas here, and it's alphabetic. And you'll see that. It's an acrostic psalm. And as we mentioned last week, each of these 22 stanzas is related to one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew Bible. And you'll see those letters at the top of each of those stanzas. If you want to start studying Hebrew, there you can do it right there. And each of those first 8 verses of Psalm 119 all begin with Aleph, or we would say A. And the next stanza begins with the letters B, or Beth, as they say in Hebrew. So that's its structure. But now I want you to develop with me an appetite for God's Word. And I'm not going to linger long, but I want you to write down these words, which you can linger on later when you get home. Verse 40 tells us that we should long for God's Word. I just long for it. Notice what it says in verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts, so revive me in your righteousness. And also we should delight in it. It should be a joy to our hearts. Look at verse 16. What does it say? I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Now, there are other things in the Bible that tell us the wonder of this word that we should have an appetite for. In Job 23, in verse 12, it says we should treasure it as more than all other treasures. And we should enjoy it. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And not only that, but we should hunger and thirst for it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So may God help us all to develop a real appetite for God's wonderful word. I hope that every day you have time alone in the Word of God. And make it a habit. If you haven't, start tomorrow. If at all possible, do it in the morning. Put first things first. And I know some of your schedules don't allow you to do that, but make sure sometime in every 24-hour period of your life, you have time to feed on the Word of God. Have you discovered that you eat maybe every day, maybe three meals a day, maybe some snacks in between? And you do that because you have an appetite. Now, may God give all of us an appetite for the Word of God, so that as the Scripture says, I have found thy words, I desire your words more than my necessary food. Now look with me also, consider the results of meditating on God's Word. What happens if I do meditate on it? Well, first of all, it teaches me. And I've given a number of scriptures here, and they're even more than the ones I had space to put on there, of how the Word of God teaches us. Look, for instance, at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And it goes on in these many verses to say, the Word of God is my teacher. Not only that, it purifies me. Look at verse 9. Many of you have read this and maybe memorized these scriptures before. Verse 9, how can a young man, or an old guy like me, how can a young man cleanse his way? Here's the answer. By taking heed according to your word. The word of God cleanses us from all sin. It purifies us. Look at verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word will keep us from sin. It will also cleanse the sin out of us as we bring ourselves through the word to the Lord and cleanse and claim the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice another thing. One of the results of meditating on God's word is that it guides me. And you'll see that in this wonderful verse, verse 105, that many of you have already memorized. Your word, say it with me, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if you wonder how the Lord wants to guide your life from here for the rest of your life on planet Earth, get into the Word. Just soak it up. And God will use His Word to direct you and to guide you. I wish I could had time to tell you the testimony of how God used His Word to guide us to Canada 51 years ago. And even though this scripture has one interpretation, yet there are many applications that God can use in directing each of our lives. Another thing that I want you to see is that meditating on the Word of God revives me. Next Sunday, I just want to linger on that theme, revival. Did you notice all those Bible verses that I listed there, beginning with verse 25? And see what it says there in verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. If you have the King James Version, it uses the word quicken me. That means bring me to life. But here in the New King James Version, it says, revive me according to your word. Oh, what the church needs today is a heaven-sent revival all across Canada and around the world and right here. And I need revival. I need it day by day. And the Word of God is what revives me. And next Sunday evening, I want you to see that in more detail. Notice something else that results in meditating on God's Word. It humbles me. It certainly does. You noticed it in verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. When you read the Word of God, it knocks the pride right out of you. And it makes us humble as we ought to be, so that God can use us and bless us. Not only that, but the Word of God gives me peace. Oh, one of the results of the Word of God is that it gives peace to our hearts. Look at it in verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. You'll discover God's peace as you spend time in this amazing book, God's Word. Let me mention one more thing. It prompts my obedience. If I'm studying the Word of God, it prompts me to do and obey what God wants me to do and to be. Look at it in verse 167, for instance. My soul keeps your testimonies, obeys them is what it means. And I love them exceedingly. Oh, there's that commitment to the Word of God. I just love your Word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day by day. Well, class, you've now taken your notes. Good for you. And we're going to quit. But let me say this. You may find it helpful to write in your Bible. And you might like to even do that right now. If you've never done it before, I've got it in the front of my Bible. Let me read it to you from my Bible. You see it on the notes. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. And what a reminder. May God help us to keep in the Word. And may I just invite you to pray with me. That was the appetizer. Now we're going to go for the main course, ice cream. But let's thank the Lord. Father, we're just so grateful for this amazing book, the Bible. Thank you for giving to us these holy pages. Thank you for revealing yourself and your will to us. And may we take full advantage this week and always to live in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.